Welcome to One in Christ, where the radiant story of Jesus come to life.
Good morning. Morning. I forgot my PowerPoint again. I still pray that I do have a point and the power. But we still have the Bible. That's the most important thing. So we are at Psalm 128. We're in a series of Psalm of Ascent. The Psalm of Ascent is 15 psalms, and five groups, with each group have three psalms with a similar pattern. You have trouble, trust, and a triumph for each psalm. Three of them, five groups. So we're in the right in the middle, the end of the middle one, Psalm 128. So we are going to read it, and we pray, then we're going to talk about the Word of God. So Psalm 128, the Psalm of Ascent. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall be the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see the children's children. Peace be upon Israel. It's the word of God. Let's pray. Father, we come to you, see with the faith that you speak even today. So we do pray that the Holy Spirit will inspire us, illuminate us, so that we know the inside of your words. And most of all, we want to see you, who's the author of your word. Lord, bless the hour that we have in front of you, and we pray in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We had a 127 last week. It's some similarity between the two psalms. You remember 127, everything's in vain, right? If you are building the house outside of the Lord, you'll watch your city outside the Lord, everything you do, it's in vain. You get up early, you stay up late, it's in vain, because you are not doing those things in the Lord. And we talk about the children, we talk about the arrow. Remember, the kids are like an arrow. We talk about the beautiful picture of happiness in the family. Then we end in the 127, the blessed is a house that have a lot of children. So you carry the quivers of arrows and talking to your family at the gate, and you are actually fearless. That ends in the 127. So we do have a picture in 127, the family, the work, and the vanity. So 128 basically is a build-off of 127. Verse 1 gives you the summary of the whole psalm. It says, for everyone who fears the Lord, walk in His ways, that guy is going to be blessed. That's the key word for you to remember. If you get out of the house today, don't remember anything. That's a verse 1 of 128. Fear the Lord and walk in His ways, and you will be blessed. That's the key thing. And that one verse has a lot of things we're going to unpack as we go through the psalm. Then verse 2 and verse 3 shows what the blessed life looks like. So the first one is the blessed life declared. Verse 2 to 3 is the blessed life described in your work, in your marriage, and in your family. Then verse 5 and verse 6 is a prayer for your blessings. So all those psalms, especially the Psalm of Ascent, I like them so much because they are so short and they have a vivid imagery, and you can focus on the words and the drive a little deep, and it's very relevant for us So 127 and 128, they are so-called wisdom psalms. They have a lot of the words that says, you shall be like this, you shall be like that. But remember, the genre, those psalms are wisdom psalms. They are not the promise psalms. It's not like you do this, you're going to get that. They just show you the general principles. It does not give you the absolute promises. So keep that in mind. Don't just go there, okay, I fear the Lord, why is that I don't have a wife? You showed me that to, you know, what wife, but where's my wife? Yeah, don't go there. So we're going to unpack that as we go along. So 127 is like the warns the life and family and the work are in vain without God. 128 says the life and family and the work are blessed when you live for God. So we have 3 points here. Verse 1 is give you the declaration of the blessed life. Verse 2 to 3 is to describe the blessed life. And verse 5 to 6 will be the praying for blessings. Okay, verse 1. Blessed life. If you remember your Bible, you should immediately jump right in front of you the Psalm 1. Psalm 1 is, I can quote in English, I just read it. Blessed is the man who walks in the counsel, not in the counsel of the wicked, not stands in the way of the sinners, not sits in the seat of the scoffers. So that basically shows you the blessed man is look like at verse 1. And the verse 128 gives you another kind of like different picture of a blessed life looks like. Is fear the Lord. Okay, so what is a blessing? Because that's the word has been overlapping here in Psalm 1 and Psalm 128. In the Hebrew word is asher. It's the plural word. That's called, if you use it in English, it's called happy. Happy life. That's a blessed life. It's just give you the spin. Happy. You look very happy. Well, that's what it means. Joyful life, content life, and the life with a great well-being, that's a blessed life. So the world is going to tell you what the blessed life looks like and what the definition of a blessed life. You need to get the cash, get a car, get a clothes, get a castle, and get a comfort, and get everything else. All this comes with a C. I mean, everything that you have, that's a definition for blessing. But you and I know, I don't care how old you are and what level of life it is now, you know, all these C's, the things, the cash and the castle, the clothes and the comfort, they are not going to stay with you for long. And they are very fragile. You may lose your job, you may lose your house, you may lose your health, you may lose everything. They're there and they're gone before you know it. So the blessed life that the Lord really promised us in this verse is not what the world promises. What is the blessed life? Blessed life is for the man who fears the Lord and to walk in his ways. Okay? So what is the fear of the Lord? I mean, that word, that phrase has been repeatedly showing in all different scriptures. Fear of the Lord is not afraid of the Lord. It's not like you see a bear coming into this building. What are you going to do? Yeah. You run or you make that guy run. Either way, escape. Fear of the Lord is not like that. Fear of the Lord comes with the two things. One is the attitudes, the other one is the actions. We're going to just split. The fear of the Lord comes with two things, attitudes and actions. So when you talk about the fear of the Lord, you start thinking about who the Lord is. He's almighty. He's the creator of the whole universe. He's the sustainer of your life. He's the redeemer of your life. He knows everything. He designs everything. He's controller. He's above and beyond. He's transcendent. I mean, think about that. You are the best basketball player in the whole city of Lynchburg. Now, Michael Jordan or LeBron James comes in. They are just there. You're probably, Lynchburg is good, or maybe in your whole, you know, EC class school or something. You think you can do all this and do those three things. They come in, you're like, awesome. Because they are so above and beyond. You think you're beautiful. Oh, you look great. All the makeup that you put on. You're great. Until you see someone really beautiful and handsome coming into this door. You feel like you want to kill yourself. You don't want to live anymore. Nothing makes sense without comparison. When you come to the Lord, He's the most glorious, beautiful, almighty being you can ever have. And holy and separating, and you're wicked. His light is coming to you. You're just like, I don't know where to hide. I just don't know. That's the fear we're talking about in this verse. He's above and beyond. He's so different. He's transcendent. And yet, He's close to the people who have sorrow. He cares about who you are. He's a loving God, and He's a good God. Yes, you kind of like in the sight of the awness of God. You want to escape, but God wants to invite you to Him. So the fear of the Lord, the attitude that you have, is you know you are nobody in front of Him, in front of His Almighty. And do you want to approach Him because He's loving God? That's your attitude for the fear of the Lord. He's awesome, He's great, and yet He's loving, and He's intimate. That's your attitude. If you do not have that way of seeing your Lord and your God, you don't know Him. You think He's either too far away, He doesn't know what we are going through, or He's just a buddy on the, you know, just like me. He's like me. No, no, no. He's close, and He's transcendent. He's intimate, and He's transcendent. That's the attitude you need to develop toward God when you say you are having the fear for the Lord. Okay, that's the attitude. And in verse 1, it says, walk in His ways. So the fear of the Lord is not just your attitude toward the Lord. It's your actions toward the Lord. It's not, okay, He's awesome, He's great, He controlled my life. But you know what? After Sunday, I just want run my own life. I do whatever I want. It's my destiny. I go my own way. Lord, just, you know, I've been to Sunday. And, you know, please bless me. But bless my way of running my own life. That's not the way it should be. Fear of the Lord denotes that you have to walk in His ways. Walk in His ways. It's not like a door. You open the door, you go through it. Okay, I become a Christian. God bless me the rest of my life and I'm done. No, 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 no. It's a way. That means you have to walk in there. Not to run, not to jump, but to walk. And walk in the way. Step by step, constantly making a progress every day with the direction, with the destination. So please, guys, meditate on those words because the so short. I can spend time on those words. Walk in His way. When you get out of this door today, this afternoon, what you're going to do with your life, and tomorrow, Monday, what you're going to do with your life, determines if you are the man or woman who fears the Lord. Are you walking in His ways? Where's the destination? Where is the Lord leading toward? A higher paid job, a high fame job, or what? What is your destination of your life? And are you walking constantly every day in the Lord? Devotions, your life habits, the way you manage your time, manage your money on a daily basis, and the progress. When you walk, you're not doing this, eh? It's not walking. I'm just going around. I'm not making any progress. When you walk, you make progress. How do you know I'm making a progress? How do you know you're making a progress? Ask your wife. Ask someone who lives close to you. You say, I'm not making progress in the Lord. Are you kidding me? You like what you had 3 years ago. Nah, you are not walking his way. So think about those things. Where's the destination? The direction? Are you constantly on this way or just basically going that way? If you're going to DC, don't go west. It's just east, west. You think, west, it looks good. You just go in there, Roanoke and West Virginia. You're just farther away from your destination. So constantly in the same way. Okay? So fear the Lord, your attitude toward the Lord, who Lord is, and what your lifestyle is going to be. You have destination, you have a constancy, you have a progress that you make in the way. Okay? That's the first one. Verse 1, right there. Then you have a blessed life. You have a happy life, joyful life, and a life with a great well-being. Okay, what does it look like? In verse 2 and verse 3. Verse 2 and verse 3. Talk about three areas of a blessed life. What it look like. Your work, your marriage, or your and your family. Okay, let's go through them. One for each. Verse 2 is that you shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. Do you remember 127? 127 verse 2 says, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives, it is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of your anxious toil. Verse 2 is that you shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. The English translation is better than Chinese because the Mandarin translation, it's exactly the same. Doesn't seem like there's any difference. But in English, 127, it says eating the bread of anxious toil. Verse 2 is you shall eat the fruit of your labor of your hands. So what's 127? You work very hard. You work in a very anxious way. You're afraid of losing a job. You're afraid of making ends meet. You're afraid of doing all those things. You get up early, stay up late. You live in a very anxious life. The work make you like the chicken without a head, just running around and doing all those things. It's totally in vain. That's what verse 2, 127 says. But 128, verse 2, says that you will eat the bread of your labor. Okay, the work. Is our work cursed? Well, let me ask you this. Is it good or not good to work? It's a tricky question. It is good to work because God blessed Adam and Eve before they sinned. God gave them a command, asked them to work in the garden, name all the animals, and they are very busy. They're smart, they're intelligent, they work very happily. Very fulfilling job, satisfying job. The work is great. What happened? In chapter 3, they sinned, they got cursed. The whole work is still working. But the work becomes tedious, fruitless, and frustrating. You got the thorns and thistles coming out of field. It used to be you just put the field in, it's just so good, and just grow some fruits, and you pick up the fruit, and you eat, and happy life. Now you're doing a lot of hard work. It doesn't give you anything. If you don't know that, come to my lawn. That was really looks really bad. I work very many hours in the lawn, but nothing coming out of it. if you are able to help me, I will be greatly appreciated. But, you know, that's the work cursed. It's like you work in anxious toil. You get nothing out of it. Verse 28, when you fear the Lord, when you develop the correct attitude toward him and the walk in his way, you will be eating the bread of your own labor. So verse 128 is kind of like a reversal of the curse for your work. Your work is now satisfying. You don't want to get the work to prove that you are somebody. You get your work done, you eat of the fruit of your labor, you're satisfying, you're fulfilling because you fear the Lord. You become a humble person, you want to glorify the Lord in your work. You are not using the work to glorify yourself, to make yourself famous, to make yourself rich. You just get the job done and give the Lord the praise and give him all the credit. You're going to eat your fruit of your own labor. So the work, the curse of the work is reversed in Psalm 128, verse 2. And it doesn't end there. It says, you shall be blessed and shall be well with you. You're satisfied. You're fulfilling. The work is a work. You're still doing great thing. You still work very hard, but you do not have an anxious toil. You do not have anxiety anymore because you fear the Lord, not to fear your employer, not to fear someone who was your parents, or you want to prove to your parents, to your friends, to someone on the other side of Facebook that you are somebody. You don't live in their sights. You're living in the sight of the Lord. Job is a job. Get it done. Be satisfied. That's your work. So if you are the man who fears the Lord, walks in his way, the curse of the job is reversed. Okay, that's first one. Second one is your wife. Okay, bear with me. For those of you who do not have a wife, I'm going to give you something else, okay? Your wife will be like the fruitful vine within your house. That's verse 3, the first part of verse 3. The family, the blessed life is reflected in the family with the wife. Give a two image over there. One is the vine, fruitful vine. It may mean having a lot of kids, okay? It means more than the childbearing. Fruitful does not only mean that you have a lot of kids, then you have a happy family. No. That's the first image. Second is this lady is in his house. She has a heart for the family, for the house, okay? But before I get into the details, you probably say, oh my goodness, it's the 21st century now. You're so backwards. You have the traditional family picture. I can still preach here in Lynchburg. That's okay. But if you go to somewhere else, I mean, all the ladies that go out to work, come on, they make more money, they are more intelligent, they're smarter, they can become a CEO, president, whatever. You want them to be in the house to give birth to your kids? Come on, man. That's just so sad. I mean, you were on the other side of the wrong side of history. Hey, this is the word of God. People are turning around now. You have all the ladies going out, doing things. That's still okay. I think it's still okay. But does she have the heart for the family? She is in the inner chamber. I don't care where you live. I don't care how intelligent you are. When you say you are blessed life, you have a wife who has the heart for the family. Fruitful vine is not just giving birth to your kids. It's make the whole family very efficient and productive because she has the heart for the family. I mean, the wise wife will make the whole house very, very productive. Very, very productive. I mean, we men, we usually lots of times we're kind of useless. You know, we go out and we think we're the breadwinners. We just go out taking a vacation, actually. I don't know, but you maybe work very hard, but usually you go out, take a break. She's in the battlefield. The kids, the family, the schedules, and football, this ball, piano, whatever. Just a soccer mom everywhere, just very, very busy because she has a heart for it. And she knows how to make the family very effective. She knows how to feed you and kids and the dog and the cats and the rabbits in a very, very efficient way. So they can get boom, 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 get things done. Then you can invite people to your house. You can preach the gospel and do things that you think are the most important to you. Why? Because you have a good wife. Very effective wife. Proverbs 31 wife. And she stayed behind the scene. Nobody knows. Oh, pastor this and the husband that. Oh, yeah, so good. You're preaching all that. I cannot do nothing without my wife behind me. Because she's a fruitful and a faithful wife. And that's the picture of a blessed life. Okay, try it without it. I mean, the world is telling you otherwise. You will be happy without all the obligations, and you will be happy without the wife and without help. Just be yourself. You will be very unproductive, very inefficient. You cannot achieve too much because you're by yourself. Try it, and Hollywood knows better. I went just in the Mandarin service, and I don't want to recommend that movie to you, but that George Clooney's Up in the Air. That's a lot of things going on there. But the whole story is, he's a lonely soul. He's firing people, hired by the company to fire people. He just appreciates his only life. He thinks he's a lonely soul. I don't need a marriage. I don't need anybody. I'm happy. But at the end of the movie, he found his soulmate. He wanted to get married with this lady, but the lady was married with another man. So he became a very lonely soul at the end of the movie. So even Hollywood gave you that thing. Telling you, without the other part, you will be lacking. Okay, what about those people who have never married? What about those people who will never find their spouse? Like a Paul, like a Jesus. I'm going to give you the answer at the end of the sermon. Just bear with me. So the picture is there, the family. The wife is fruitful and faithful. That's the picture of your blessed life. Okay, that's not all. We have the last part of verse 3. It shows your children will be like olive shoots around the table. The picture of olive shoots. Remember 127? It's a military term, the arrows. You were not there, the arrows. It's a defense thing. If you have a lot of arrows in the quiver and you go out to talk to your enemy at the gate, you fear nothing. That's what 127 says. So a lot of kids will give you this picture of defense and the blessing. That's 127. 128 is olive shoots. You know, olive trees, when you grow, it looks beautiful. It's a big canopy and stuff. And you have the little thing coming out of the roots. It's called the shoots coming out. They grow very, very slowly. You have to cultivate them. You have to discipline them. But it wait about 10 to 15 years. They're going to grow into the olive trees. Then you don't, it's a low maintenance. Just let them grow. They're going to grow very, very, thriving a beautiful way. But it takes a long time for the olive shoots to grow. But what does the picture show? The picture shows hope and the promise. So the kids, when you have them in your house, got lots of them, sitting around the table, we can talk about the table, sitting around the table, they are there, they're talking, you see the hope and the promise, for the kingdom of God to expand. The blessings is not going to be in your house anymore, it's going to be expanded to all over the world, because you don't know where they're going to go. And in verse 6, it said the children's children. I mean, it's not just the children and the children's children. We always say, oh, yeah, you're so blessed with so many kids. Not only just the biological kids, you carry all the blessings of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, to your children, to the children's children. That's the true blessings it's becoming. And around the table. See that around the table thing? My wife's a big one for that. If I don't go home at 6 p.m. or tell her I'm not coming or coming 6 p.m., I'm going to, you know, really deemed. That's because what she is really into this thing, family dinner table. And I start appreciating that. Kids are talking among themselves, the life exchange, life experiences exchanged, and we talk among ourselves, you know, the things, the small things, big things, all happen around the dinner table. So the picture that verse 3 shows you, the blessed are the people who have the children around the table. That's the picture of a blessed life. Faithful and a fruitful wife and a lot of kids. And you see the hope and see the promises. So we see the blessed life, the fear of the Lord, walk in his way. That's a declaration and a description of the blessed life. You have the work, that's the curse is reversed. And you have the family, you have the kids, you have the marriage, and you have the family. Okay, that's a blessed life. Let me stop over there. And we're probably gonna come back again. What if you do not have a wife or husband and kids? Not everyone will be able to have a biological kids for one reason or another. Or you come from a broken family. That picture is just too good to be true. Your parents may be doing something that really breaks the family. What are you gonna do with that? Well, first of all, the picture of a blessed life might not reflect the life that you have, but at least it shows the great possibility the life can be, the blessed life can be. Second, even if the picture is not a reality to you, you know God has promised a family for you already, and you have a father who is a heavenly father, who's not going to be an alcoholic or drug addict. He's not going to be a domestic abuser. He is the loving God, and he's the Father. And you do have a family member. Your brother, who's Jesus Christ. You have brothers and sisters. We call the brothers and sisters and not just, you know, Christian, you know, slogan or something. We are a family. Yes, we are not biologically connected, but we are family more than a family to some extent. So yes, you might not have kids, but you will have a spiritual kids, the someone who have the blessings because of you, the blessings of the Lord because of you. They are actually spiritually born out of you. Oh, God shows you the picture of a blessed family and the work and the life and all that. You might not have it in this physical world, but spiritually you have all in Jesus Christ and his gospel. So I'll just stop over there. So verse 5 and verse 6. Verse 5 and verse 6, verse 5 and verse 6. Verse 4 basically is a repeat of what verse 5 says. Behold, that shall be the man, be blessed who fears the Lord. Okay, verse 5 and verse 6. You have three different physical locations, Zion, Jerusalem, and Israel, all in the same psalm. Okay, so Zion. Well, you know those songs are sung by the pilgrims who went to the Mount Zion. They were going to the Mount Zion and to the city of Jerusalem where the Lord promised his presence. They worship the Lord over there three times a year for those pilgrims to do that. So they are not the people who are living in that city or living in the Mount Zion. They're from all over the places. So when you say Zion, Zion is a representation of the presence of the Lord. That's where the Lord is. Okay. So when you say you're going to have the Zion, you have the blessings. Verse 5, the Lord bless you from Zion. Bless you from Zion. What if you're not in Zion? That means the blessings from the presence of the Lord will be extended to you. So the prayer is like, the blessings from the Lord with his presence will be extended to you no matter where you are, no matter what are you doing. Is that fulfilled in the New Testament? Oh yes, the Holy Spirit is right here. We're not a Mount Zion. We don't go to Mount Zion anymore three times a year and all that type of things. We don't go to a special holy place where the presence of God is manifested. No, we are here in your home, anywhere, in any circumstances. The blessings of the Lord from Zion will be extended to you. That's the prayer they have over there. And there's a time period. It says, may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life, all the days of your life, the whole day in which you have the blessings from the Lord. And the city of Jerusalem. City of Jerusalem is a center for religious life and the civil life for Jewish people. In the Old Testament, the religious life and the civil life are just basically surround the city of Jerusalem. Everything happens in that particular city. In the New Testament, we know it's the church, that's the religious life, that's what the church is all about, and the social life that we have. So the Psalter prays that the Lord will bless you, or may the Lord will bless you. What is he praying? He's praying that the church in the New Testament will be healthy, and the social life in your city will be healthy as well. The prayer that the church members, that means everybody, your life will reflect the life that walks in the way of the Lord, fears the Lord. And the city will have a very positive or good moral code that is consistent with the biblical teaching, biblical principle. I mean, think about this. If you are living in a very healthy city, which knows right from wrong, ugly from beautiful, black from white, you will be living in a very just and happy life. If you live in a city who's totally confused about a man from women, from left from right, totally baffled by nothing. They know nothing about right and wrong, no standards. You can call anybody anything. You can do whatever you want. Your life will be miserable. Your kids will not be blessed that way. So it's very hard. God still promised the blessings, but please pray for your church and for your civil life, for your city as well. So may the goodness of the city and the goodness of the Jerusalem will be with you all your life. So your church life and your social life and your community. So the blessings, look at that. The blessings is not just only about your family, your work, or your individual way. The blessings become a more and more communal way. You want the blessings to go toward and outside to the city, extend it to the people who live around you. And that's not all. And you, of course, verse 6, may you see your children's children. That's called a longevity. It's not just you live very long, you're living a happy life. Yes, yes, that's fine. Longevity is a blessing from the Lord. It's no problem. Fifth commandment and such, you're going to live a long life if you have honor your parents. It's all good. It's in the commandment. But the children's children, it's not just talking about biological kids. It's the blessings from the Lord through you, to your children, and the children's children. So that's the picture of a blessed life. We just talked about that already. The longevity is the only one aspect of it. And the last one is the peace be upon Israel. Remember we said that the blessings is not going to be just individualistic. It's a communal. And the Israel is a nation. It's not just the community, your social life, your church. It's the nation. Peace is not just a lack of a conflict. It's the well-being. It's the justice. It's a life and a right and wrong. It's the judgment. It's the civil system. It's the judicial system. peace upon Israel or peace upon the nation. Pray for the nation. Pray for the government. I mean, this is just a side. I mean, Virginia is going to have an election. Go vote if you are able. Vote for a governor, for a president. Peace be upon Israel. So you have Zion, which is the presence of God. You have a Jerusalem, which is social life, including the church life. And you have Israel, which is a nation. So Psalm 128 is not just your blessings for the individual life. It's for communal life as well, especially in the verse 5 and 6 when the Psalter prays. Lessons I want to give you before we call it. First, your life, your blessing is correlational to how much you fear the Lord. That's very clearly shown. You fear the Lord, you have a blessed life. It's so easy, but it's not that easy to do because it asks you to walk in His way. Second, how you live your life matters. You think you just live your own life, I don't care about other people, you know, I just do my own thing. No. How you live your life will have a great impact on the people who live around you. You, as a husband, as a wife, as a kid, as anybody living in the community, will have a ripple effect on the people somewhere on the other side of the city. If you develop some sinful behavior, sinful nature, just let it grow, and you become a sinner, you become a criminal, someone's going to get hurt. I mean, put it in the family. If you're really a bad husband, don't want to live for the Lord, you live your own way, very selfish way, never shows up in the dinner table, you don't care about your wife, don't care about the kids, what kind of kids are you going to grow? What kind of kids is growing into the society? I mean, they're going to be blown out of the proportion. It's just awful. So how you live your life matters. And I told you already, even if you are coming from the broken family or living in the broken family, that's still okay because God has promised you the perfect family that's available right now because He invites you to go to His family where the Father is your Father, the Son is your brother, and you have brothers and sisters around you. So you do have a perfect family, even if you're coming from a broken family. But the point remains, how you live your life really matters. So that's the two points I want to give you before we end before we end the psalm. Brothers and sisters, and ladies and gentlemen, blessings are not cheap. We say, all right, okay, I fear the Lord. You know, I read my Bible, go to devotions, and go to church, and live an upright life. I'm going to get the blessings of life. No. Blessings are someone that's not treatable. We do not deserve anything or favor from the Lord. We just don't, because we are sinful people. When God says you're going to have a blessings, it's not like you are good. It's because like who He is, He's the God who loves. Love to the extent that He gives you the blessing because someone paid the high price for you to be blessed. That's Jesus Christ that died on the cross. Always keep that in mind. It's not about you who live an upright life, a fear of the Lord and walking in His way. It's all about you to live your own godly life. No. Everything is about who he is and what He has done 2,000 years ago. The mercy and the grace is the foundation for you to be able to live a graceful life or fearful life. Ladies and gentlemen, blessings are not cheap. When we say that God's going to bless us, He paid a high price to have access to His blessing. Keep that in mind. Gospel is always the center. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful and we are humbled because we don't deserve your blessings. And yet, you give us your blessings. We don't deserve it. We can't take it. And the requests that you made, we can't live an upright life. We don't know you enough to live a life that fears the Lord and walk in the way. We always divert. We always go wrong ways. Lord, may your glory become of attraction. We want to know you. We want to focus on you because you are Almighty God. You are our Redeemer and Sustainer and Creator of us. Thank you, Lord, so much for what you have done before we know you. Make our heart changed, transformed, so that we can live a way that is worthy in your eyes. And we pray in Christ.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Please subscribe if you like our content. One in Christ as a multi-ethnic church, you're more than welcome to join us and to worship our Lord again. And we'd like to hear your unique stories with Jesus in the future.